Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny.
Dutcher and Rich.
You're on a roll. I am busting a gut.
Ah. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toronto's a real good offensive team. So how do you take them out of their game that way? You try to force them to defend.
You work so hard. Now I have this feeling of really what it takes to get here. You got to go through an 82-game grind to put yourself in a good position, and we have done that.
If we can win pucks and have it more, then that's what they got to do.
You take a second to be excited, realize what you've done as a group, and then you kind of put it on the back burner and you get ready for this season.
Far circle now, Heinen. High slot. McAvoy near circle now. Krejci centers. Puck for. They score! David Backes shook off a check, threw Hainsey inside, and then powered one home. Get out, Squeak!
We were ready, we were on time, and we were energized. Winning pucks, getting it behind their D, the way you want to play early on, put them in uncomfortable positions and try to tilt the ice.
Far corner now, Marchand. Fired by Pastrnak, didn't get a lot on it. Stick save Anderson. Marchand, around a check, Pastrnak rips one, he scores!
Go Bruins!
Brad Marchand, puck retrieval, right circle, escape the check. Hit Pastrnak, tape the tape. Char back of his net. He'll roll it up the left side. Over the line, far side. Pastrnak with a step. Cuts in. Shoots. Off the post. They score! Sean Corrali fouled up the play. The puck ricocheted in the air. And he's been watching some baseball because he batted it home. 4-1 Bruins. Second on DeBrus. Left of the net. Krejci. They score! David Krejci may have fenced that in. Off of Freddie Anderson. A power play goal. And the Garden will stand to its feet. The Boston Bruins have taken game one of this opening round series decisively 5-1.
Luchini pour it from the sky, let's get rich, what? The GK finds a sugar dime, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork, it's in the Vega and get lit.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The Bruins yesterday, a 5-1 victory over Toronto. Joe Haggerty covers the team from NBC Sports Boston. Now, what is this jersey you're wearing today?
Boba Fett Fort Wayne Tin Caps.
All right, how many of these do you have again?
We've gone through this a zillion times. I have not counted. I don't know. I have a lot.
Okay.
I have a good number, a good chunk, I would say.
All right, so how many days a week do you wear one of these?
I don't wear them to practice. I don't wear them to games. I don't wear them to family-type dinners where my wife would absolutely destroy me if I showed up in one. So, I don't know, when I'm kicking around the house, not that often, maybe a couple times a week.
Okay. Well, that's
I put on the best, though. This is like the Fred and Toucher and Rich best right here.
Wow.
Right?
You know that, you're on TV.
Exactly. I want to dress up for you guys. I want to doll it up a little bit, Freddie T.
You're talking about? The highly rated television program. Killing it.
You lay that out beforehand? No, you were going to come in?
I did when I went to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning last night after the game. I laid it out and said this is what I'm going to do. And that, by the way, is I heard you on the air before I got here say, oh, what's Hags doing? What's he up to? I was up until 2 o'clock in the morning, buddy.
Wow, you were up until 2 and made it to the show.
That's right.
That's so foreign to me.
That's right.
All right.
Neither of us have ever had that sensation at all.
How about being
especially
up all night?
Playoff time. It never happens to us.
All right. So, Joe, I received some heat. By the way, I love the audience giving me crap for the 6 o'clock hour where I barely talked. And then now I'm...
Yesterday you talked too much.
And now today I haven't talked enough.
Talking enough, I know.
I mean, I'm so over this garbage.
You can't win, Fred.
You literally can't win.
You can't win.
Like, I didn't talk.
You can't win, Rock.
I barely talked, and now I'm getting crap.
Yeah.
What's up with Freddie? You didn't talk enough.
I know.
And then yesterday, you talked too much.
People just don't like you for some reason.
Good. I don't like them. How about that?
Well, I think that part's obvious.
All right, Joe, I contend, much to everyone's consternation, that the Bruins were fortunate last night. And I will tell you why I believe this. Is that the first 10 minutes of that game, they absolutely dominated. They were more physical and everything else.
Yep.
Then there was about a span of 20, 25 minutes of that game where they were completely outplayed. Power plays, lucky to get out of there without goals. I contend that if Toronto
hit a post.
Yeah, Toronto hit a post, and then there was the open net that, what's-his-face?
Ozak, right? Right at the far post?
He missed a goal at the far post, and I contend that the game would have gone differently had Toronto obviously scored a couple of these. What was your opinion on that? What did you make of the Bruins? Obviously, they dominated the end of the game, but then especially in Anderson, hopefully they got in their heads with the Krejci goal that was garbage.
Yeah.
But what was your feeling as you were watching the game?
I think your Jedi instincts are right on there, Freddie.
Oh, how about that?
I think your hockey instincts were right there. Your hockey take was right on. Certainly a closer game than 5-1.
Yep.
And you're right. The last half of the first period and about the first half of the second period, Toronto came back at them with a big wave. And after they scored, they had a lot of momentum. And if they had broken through for a goal or two, if they'd scored on one of those two power plays that they had.
Marner went right through the crease, right?
Yeah.
He beat Rask.
He just
went through the crease. He missed.
He should have scored.
Yeah.
But the post was bad. Charlie McAvoy just threw the puck up the middle, and then it gets picked off by Gardner, and he blasts one from the high point, and it just rings off the post. But that could have easily gone in, and that was before they actually scored. So
right.
Toronto had taken control of the game or the momentum before that. So, yeah, if they'd finished off a few more plays and maybe gotten a little bit of a lead, it could have definitely been a different game. But they didn't. I mean, the one of the areas that the Bruins have an advantage in this series is on the penalty kill.
Yep.
And I think the Bruins, their power play was so good the last 6 weeks of the season. They're just riding that momentum now into the playoffs, score the three power play goals in game one. So that's going to be there for them against an average Toronto penalty kill.
Plus the first line is going to be able to do whatever they want.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's been...
You saw it the first shift of the game.
Right.
You know, they just took Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner and hemmed them in and just cycled and did their Harlem Globetrotters thing where they were just skating around creating plays and getting chances.
Now, don't get it twisted. I believe that the Bruins are the superior team. I believe that there's no excuse for the Bruins not to win this series.
Right.
I didn't love their penalty kill yesterday, but their power play is on fire. Their first line is on fire. And I think they do have an advantage on the penalty kill. I just think last night it necessarily wasn't fantastic. But
the second one I thought was good. Like, Chara was in the box for the first one, and they're going to struggle when he's not him. He's the best penalty killer in the entire
NHL. Had a little run there where he was struggling.
Yeah.
He's responsible basically for the Toronto goal, and then he goes and gets penalized almost right after that goal.
Yeah, it was a bad decision to pinch and leave kind of Krejci and McAvoy sort of covering for him, no doubt about it. There are times when he could do that. Certainly in the regular season, there are times when he can do that. But against Toronto with that kind of speed and the players that he's going to be out on the ice against, he needs to be playing a lot more conservatively than that. And I think, you know, as it went on, he did. But you're right. He wasn't perfect in that game.
No. He was looking like he was going to be the GOAT. Go ahead, John.
Austin Matthews, a non-factor last night. My question to you is it simply because he couldn't get away from the Bergeron line last night? Will that change once Toronto gets the last change next week?
Well, I think, obviously, game two, I like Boston's chances, and I think they're going to have some success. And you know, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they go up 2-0 going back to Toronto. It is a different story when Babcock gets the last change and gets the matchups that he wants, and we'll get Matthews away from Bergeron, maybe at times away from Chara. But this is what we saw in the game also that the Bruins won during the regular season, that the only game that Matthews played this year against the Bruins was the game where Boston won, and they completely bottled up Matthews at the Garden. Same thing. You didn't see him, didn't notice him. pretty invisible. His numbers over his career the last 2 years against the Bruins aren't great, so he's not a guy that's dominated them. They've had a lot more trouble with Mitch Marner, who is speed, skill, can really put you on your heels with the attacking speed that he has, and he's just a little small guy that can, you know, move around and kind of shake and bake. And you know, that's more what Chara's had trouble against in the last couple of years, and not so much Matthews, who's a little bit of a bigger body. At times, I think a better matchup, the kind of guy that Bergeron and Chara can have a little bit of success with. They have trouble with the faster, more shifty types like a Marner. So.
Well, you saw Krejci get completely his doors blown off on a breakaway. All right, Joe Haggerty's here.
Toucher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Toucher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just a thing of, you know, if I see something that I like, it's, I have to go for it. And I like what I see, baby. Come here. I got real bored on Friday night. I couldn't find a damn thing to do.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Joe Haggerty in studio.
I drove to the party and I stepped on
it. Way to mail it in today, Fred. This is on Instagram. You start the show with a dumb statement and now you're sitting there sulking. God, you're miserable. Your life is so tough. I can't win. I say nothing, I get in trouble, I get yelled at. I say it, I get in an argument, I get yelled at.
I got an avalanche of them here if you'd like me to read them.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Bruins with an amazing win and a fun night, and yet this is the most miserable I've ever heard. Fred, just tell him to go home.
Today's how long did I talk?
You didn't speak much at all for a long period of time.
I deliberately didn't argue. I deliberately didn't argue.
Yep.
And Haggerty, by the way, agrees with me, with my statement, and I deliberately didn't argue.
Someone changed Fred's diaper and gave him his pacifier.
What exactly did I do, John? Be honest with me.
No, here's what happened. Rich said, and by the way, I disagreed with him, that this is a blowout. It wasn't close. I'm paraphrasing now. These aren't Rich's exact words. And you and I both said, well, look, we discussed it when Joe first sat down. Toronto had chances to score twice and didn't. The whole point, I think, and I don't want to necessarily speak for you, I can speak for myself, it was a much closer game than 5-1.
Sure, and so I
That's
said,
what we disagreed
So I
on.
Said, okay, fine. And I didn't argue. I felt 2 days in a row I'm not going to have an argument first thing on the show. And now I'm a prick for not having an argument? What the hell am I supposed to do?
Are we going to get an Instagram of Fred and Mark from Medford hugging it out?
Why
after
do
the
I
show?
Have? What am I supposed to do with Mark from Medford? What I got to kiss his ass now because he calls in 3,000 times? I swear to God, I've had it. All I get is an avalanche of crap yesterday for arguing with Bird. Rich counters an opinion of mine, so I said fine, and I didn't want to argue with him because I didn't want to argue 2 days in a row at the beginning of the show. But now I'm the world's biggest prick. Congratulations.
Can I be on Team Toucher?
I think you already are.
I think Bird needs to know his role, goddammit.
You and everyone else has come up to me afterwards and told me that I was right.
Absolutely.
Big Jim texted Nick and said that I shouldn't have been cut off and we should have discussed it more. I don't know.
Bird should be kissing the ground in the studio every day
well,
when he comes
apparently in. Apparently it's a very diva-esque to ask someone to call you at 7:35 in the morning. Or 5:35 in the morning. Apparently, I'm a huge diva.
No, if you start asking for only, like, black jelly beans in a bowl, then you're a huge diva.
I told my wife, I said, everyone's mad at me because I asked them to call me at 7:35, and she's like, on what planet are we? Not ask him to shine your shoes. You're asking him on the way into work if he wouldn't mind giving you a phone call.
Well, I mean,
then the guy screams at me.
You were upset to start with because Stephanie texted you about leaving the light on. That's how we started the show.
All right, here's the whole exchange.
Yeah.
They don't want you to lie on your back. That's the one thing. Thanks for the call today, Bert. You idiot.
Hey, the guy had an ass man. I shouldn't have to be calling you. Ooh. You have a wife and kids and a dog.
You have a job.
Whoa, come here.
You have a job.
Whoa.
Whoa, come here.
Whoa. What?
You shouldn't be calling me in the morning?
No. You're older than me. Don't you have a phone? Don't you have your phone on ringer or something that wakes you up?
Go home.
All right.
We need a phone screener today.
No, we don't.
Is Nick here?
Yeah, there you go. What a prick I am. Be listening this morning at 7:50. The guy just said I'm not going to do it. But I'm a prick because I'm such a diva that I want someone to call and help me an emergency wake me up. I've been told by management I can't be late. I haven't been late since last fall. And I'm such a prick that I want to fail safe.
Hey, where I'm from, you're sort of his boss, aren't you? I mean,
I'm not. I can't fire him or anything.
No.
But I mean,
but he's there to facilitate for you.
I have no idea why everyone feels that it's such a big deal that he's supposed to call me. I can't win with this dumb audience.
Stop trying to be a man of the people, Fred. It's no fun.
No, everyone I see very nice to me, but I can't win. I can't. I don't argue. I argue in the morning. I'm a prick. I don't argue. I'm a prick. Be listening this morning at 7:50 for your text trip.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Well done.
I mean, what did I say in the 6 o'clock hour to make everyone so mad?
I think they're up now. They're up. This morning is different than yesterday. This morning they're upset because you were pouting.
How was I pouting? I didn't say anything.
That's how it's perceived.
Hey, can I pout on the radio if I don't say anything?
Are you yelling at me or everybody?
You know what I think?
Okay. Why don't you leave too,
Freddie? You know what they think it is? It's like
I'm gonna kill.
It's like when Kobe Bryant gets criticized for shooting too much and then goes an entire game where he doesn't shoot the rock.
That's what people
are looking at.
Hang on. I really want to know this.
Okay.
How can I be a pouty bitch by not speaking?
Because you were pissed off that Rich was arguing with you and you're like, I don't want to deal with this. And then you cross your
hands. I didn't even do it. First of all, on the radio, how can you know I crossed my hands?
Second
of all,
TV, there are cameras.
Then don't watch me on TV. And second of all, I didn't cross my arms.
Hey, I think they should watch you on TV. Thank you for the ratings.
No, seriously, we need people just to see that glorious uniform. That's we need people to watch on TV.
Do not discourage the beautiful TV viewers out there, Fred Tutcher. Don't you dare, you son of a bitch.
Well, when we're not on in the fall by choice, we'll let you know. Luke, go ahead.
Well, Fred, ultimately, the main reason why people don't like you, I think you said it the other day. You're an only child.
Yeah.
Okay, that's ultimately what it boils down to, is that you're an only child. And you're not aware, like, selfish people aren't aware that they're selfish, okay?
What did I do today specifically?
Well, when this guy called in a little while ago and said you were being aggressive, and you said, I hardly said anything. It's not about how much you say. It's the way you say what you said. And the first thing...
Are we married?
Fred.
It sounds like we're married.
You were aggressively quiet, clearly. I didn't know that was such a thing.
We went through this.
Aggressively quiet.
Luke, yeah. if I get crap yesterday for yelling at Bird, and then so today... Rich has a difference of opinion with me, and I feel like I don't want to argue with him 2 days in a row. How does that make me a prick?
Well, it's because, I side with you on the Bird thing because...
Everyone does, by the way. All of a sudden, as soon as the show ended, it was an avalanche of emails telling me how wonderful I am. But go ahead.
But it's still, I mean, what you're asking him to do is ridiculous.
Why?
But why?
Why is that above him? Like, why is calling me above him?
It's not that it's my boss asked me to do ridiculous things, I think, all the time. But I still have to do them, right? So you asking him to call you is ridiculous in the sense that he shouldn't have to.
Okay, why of all things that someone could ask someone to do is when you're driving into work to just set an alarm? Hang on a second. To set an alarm to call me as a failsafe. By the way, at 5:35, I'm not asking him to get up in the morning. I'm not asking. He lives in Everett. He's on the way here to work. Why is it so ridiculous that I would ask him as a failsafe? No one's ever woken me up with that phone call. I'm usually in my car. Nick has no problem doing it. Mike does it on Mondays. When we had Boomer Esiason on Mondays, and it was at 5:30, I told no one to call me. It was too early in the morning for them to call me. Why is it so ridiculous to ask a member of the staff to call me so I am not late because management was fed up with me being late?
Because it's just a selfish...
How is that egotistical?
Well, I'm going to explain it to you, but you're not going to understand it because you refuse to see it. Because with you asking him to, everyone else has to rearrange their day just a little bit to make yours a little bit easier.
Are you crazy? He's on the way to work. How does that rearrange his day?
Right. Yeah, no, it shouldn't, right?
It's part of his job as a producer to facilitate things for the talent.
Yeah,
that's literally his job.
That's his job.
It's literally his job.
I side with you on it. It doesn't sound like it.
No. I think he just wants to take shots at you.
I mean, I can't win for losing.
He wants to go deep into your past, Fred, to the only child status.
I didn't say I'm wonderful. I just don't know how one day I'm a piece of garbage for yelling at someone, and the next day I avoid an argument, and I'm a piece of garbage for that. No one else on this show gets anything. Me. I'm the one. Jesus Christ. It's amazing. How on radio, if you're not talking, can you be called, can people yell at you?
He just called you aggressively quiet.
It's magic.
He said really I was aggressively is. Quiet.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
If I'm in my car and I'm listening to Felger and Maz, and Felger doesn't talk a lot during a break, I wouldn't, in a million years, I wouldn't notice it. In a million years, I wouldn't notice it. Mm-hmm. So make up your mind. Do you want to hear me talk or do you not want to hear me talk? When I talk, you're pissed. When I don't talk, you're pissed. Aggressively quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying, John? I didn't want to get in an argument again.
Yes, I understand.
I didn't want to get in an argument at 6 o'clock in the morning. His point is valid. Obviously, it's a point a lot of people share. He was passionate about it. I'm not going to get in an argument with him. Fine. Now, full phone line.
Yeah.
Very quickly. Rich, go ahead.
If Bird's not on the clock, what gives you a right to ask him to do anything?
He's on the clock. He's on the clock.
5:35, he's on the clock?
Essentially, yes.
Essentially, okay. Well, if he's on the clock at 5:35, he should be calling you. If he's not, he shouldn't be calling you.
Okay.
And today's problem is, it's not about you being quiet. You keep going back to, you didn't say anything. It's not about that. It's about when you say something, the way you say it comes off aggressive. That's what it's about. It's not about...
What did I say that was aggressive?
The gentleman called this morning.
Mark from Medford, who calls in 3,000 times. Mark from Medford, who's called in 3,000 times. I have to sit there and listen to it? He starts off the phone call with an insult towards me.
I can see both your point of views, but it's not about, you come off sounding like a jerk because of the way you say it, not about how much you say things.
So I can't win.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, good.
There you go.
No matter what I do, I'm a prick.
I think it's up to you to just soldier on, Freddie T. That's it.
Aggressively quiet.
Soldier on.
That's the last thing in the world.
Once you're in a position...
Aggressively quiet,
over-argumentative ass.
Once you're in a position where you're trying to make everybody happy, losing position.
That's a good point.
It's not what you say, it's
when
the way you say it.
Yes.
It's not
when
you're
very familiar with it.
It's not what you say, it's the way you say it.
That's right.
Yep. Haggerty's had that problem for years.
Yeah. Trying to make everybody happy, not going
to
work.
Nope. I'm not trying to make anybody happy but myself.
Maybe that's the problem.
It's because you're an only child, Fred, clearly.
I got a bunch of problems. There's no question about that. I'm not acting like I don't got no problems.
You're an aggressively quiet only child. I mean, that's...
The only child thing has a lot of merit to it. But, I mean, Lord have mercy. The amount of crap I got during the show and the amount of crap I got, support I got after the show... is outstanding. And then today I'm quiet, mm-hmm. and everyone's, I'm a prick for being quiet.
Yep.
Who would even notice? You two are having a fine conversation.
Yep.
Do you disagree?
No.
What the hell am I supposed to do?
I don't know.
There was no need for me to facilitate anything. You were having a fine conversation.
Yes.
God. What happens when I'm on vacation? Do people yell that I'm on vacation and that I'm not here?
Then we hear nothing.
I think you should get back on Twitter, Freddie. You seem like you're primed and ready for it right now.
Boy,
siphon off some of this aggression on people.
All right.
Just shoot a few people down in flames on Twitter.
I also like how, I'm exceptionally hungover. That's another thing. I got so drunk last night. That's
really?
Another thing. Stupid idiots. All right. I'm talking to you, John.
Okay.
What just happened? I was just in the other room editing the drunken recap.
You didn't miss anything.
Haggerty agrees.
Mike's in here, and I'm looking at the phone, and it's about Fred.
Haggerty's
in here to talk.
There was a phone call with some deep psychological evaluation.
Wait. So you have a problem that the calls are about me?
No, I'm just shocked. I walked in. I was in the... No, not at all. I was in the other room.
So, Rich, I will explain to you. So Haggerty agreed with me that Toronto, that the Bruins got fairly lucky for a stretch of time during that game. So you agree with me. So I'm getting phone calls that I was aggressively quiet in the beginning of the show.
You were.
Aggressively quiet?
Yes. At one point, John and I had been talking for 3 minutes. We stopped and looked at you to turn it over. And you said, what?
I didn't want to get in an argument first thing in the show again.
It wasn't an argument. It was a conversation.
No.
A sports debate, if you will.
I didn't want to get in a debate. You disagreed with me, and I said, fine.
But why not get in a debate?
Why? Because I didn't want to do it at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, all right.
Because I'd already gotten in and I'd gotten a boat full of crap.
But you did shut down.
The day before.
But you did shut down.
So I didn't talk. What? Well, how is that being aggressively quiet? And fine, you might notice because you're sitting next to me. I didn't mean it as any statement. But how the hell is a listener?
Because when we turned it over to you, you went, what? And we're like, well, we're just having a conversation. I think it was because it was audible.
So I said, what?
Yeah, and you were checking your phone.
I'm on the radio.
Yes. Well, you're also on TV.
I can't get anything on this computer because it's a public computer. I'm reading my phone. I'm reading about the game.
Yes.
Jesus, I'm over it.
You did shut down this morning. You did.
Yeah, I didn't want to get an argument.
It's not an argument. It's a conversation.
It's an argument. Well, I didn't want to get into it.
Well, it wasn't an argument on my side. I like having, I like talking about things. I like hearing your side. I mean, you came in and said that they squeaked out with a win, and I'm like, how is what should have been a 6-1 win a squeak out?
Well, there were 20 minutes when the game was extremely close.
But there were 40 minutes where the Bruins dominated.
Yeah, but that's when the game got away. What Fred's point is Toronto, the second half of the first period and the first half of the second period, had a bunch of scoring chances. They cash in on a couple of those. They get the right bounce. That game goes
that's
in a totally different direction.
Out. That is not squeaking out
a win.
No, there
was some...
There were
pucks going through creases that could have easily gone in the goal. They hit the post right before they scored the goal. Fred's point, I think, is right on.
For candy and nuts, as Jack Edwards said.
No. That's a game where it's 5-1 and it's a final.
It is horrible, but it was funny.
That's a game where it's a 5-1 final score, but you absolutely, the first thing you say after that game is over is, that was way closer than 5-1. That could have definitely gone in a different direction against the Bruins.
But that is not squeaking it out. That is a team that was dominant on special teams. That was a team that kept their head cool when the other team lost their head.
And Marchand and Bergeron said it afterwards that it was a much closer game.
They weren't dominant shorthanded.
The first half of the game, that was completely in play.
Okay, it's a 3-1 game. It's still not a squeak out.
What it speaks to is that it was two evenly matched teams, and they're not going to... I think Fred's point is they're not going to romp through the series.
No, like, well, that I agree with. But that's not squeaking out a win.
All right, we have to break.
Saying it's going to be semantics, you know?
We have to break.
Thursday morning at 9.
Good morning, Frederick.
Toucher and Rich talk basketball with the Celtics president of operations, Danny Ainge. Brought to you by GE, official data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Toucher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Barwal murder. Met by Chara and Wingles. Whoa. And then Wingles got drilled from behind by Kadri, and Wingles is down.
That's a major on Kadri. No question. Left his feet, jumped on the play, and Wingles was already partly down on it.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group. Oh, whoops. I'm not going to do that yet. In a little bit, we're going to do that. Bruins tickets for game 2 tomorrow.
Within the next few minutes.
You're teasing them, Fred.
Yeah. Teasing the people. All right, Mr. Joe Haggerty from covers the Bruins for NBC Sports Boston. So there you heard the call of Kadri. For some reason, he was obsessed with Wingles last night. And obviously an intent to injure with the charging call that was the major.
Let me play Kadri's explanation afterwards, because once again, Cassidy came out and said that, he deserved what he got, and whatever happens after this, it's
league
up to the
NHL. League will take care of it, which is what he always says.
Yeah, right. I mean, he handled it the way you're supposed to, and, Babcock was obviously very vague, didn't want to say anything damning, but so here is, however, Kadri afterwards, and he seems to have a completely different idea of what actually happened than I think what the rest of us said.
Well, initially, I mean, I just felt like he made contact with Mitchie's head to start, and I didn't see a call there, and he was turning up the wall, so I was committed to the hit, and then he ended up falling. I mean, it happened pretty quick, and then I think he was reaching for the puck, so I haven't really watched it yet, but I don't think I stuck my leg out or my arm out or whatever the case is, but I mean, it's in the hands of the NHL.
Okay, obviously, most of the things he said there are completely false.
Another interpretation might be that he saw a guy on his knees right against the boards and launched off his skates and just drilled him right into the dasher.
Right, I know.
With his smashing his head as hard as he could. Right. Dirty, cheap, reckless play. He's going to get banged for 2 or 3 games, I think.
You think really?
Three?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more than one.
And this is a major hit for that team.
Especially if Wingles is hurt, I think it's going to be multiple games.
Let's say he's not, because this is the playoffs, and we were talking about how during the playoffs, the NHL likes to be a little more lenient to keep their stars playing.
Well, that's part of it, and part of it is also that the way the Department of Player Safety views it, a suspension in the playoffs, one game is worth two regular season games. So the suspension games go down in the playoffs because they view it as heftier to miss playoff games.
Okay.
So, you know, the weight is heavier with each game that they give. So essentially, a three-game suspension during the playoffs would be a six-game suspension during the regular season.
All right, so why
that's kind of how they view it.
Why does Kadri do that last night? Why twice in a row does he go after Wingles?
Well, I don't think it was necessarily Wingles' thing. I think they were just on the ice together. Kadri is Toronto's version of Brad Marchand. He's kind of a guy that's played on the edge. That was his reputation when he was a younger player. He does take cheap shots from time to time. And I think last night, Kadri was frustrated because he was completely ineffective. Didn't have any shots on net. He's a 30-plus goal scorer. He's had a great season. He's had a lot of success against the Bruins in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think he was pissed because they were bottling him up. They were losing the game. He was a complete non-factor. So, and he sees, I mean, this part is true. Wingles definitely did finish hard on Mitch Marner, and there was contact with his head, it looked like, potentially a little bit of an elbow right before he went in there. But still, I mean, that was much more of a hockey play, what Wingles had on Marner,
yeah.
That maybe it's a penalty, maybe it's not, but it's definitely a hockey play. But, whereas with Kadri, that's not a hockey play. That's a guy that's a predator, that sees a guy on his knees and sees a vulnerable player that he can completely clean out against the boards, and he jumps off his skates and jumps into him, which that's a big no-no in the game of the NHL.
So what they're losing, if he gets suspended, is one of their better two-way players. On top of that, he's, if not
their
best,
power play guys.
Great power play guy, yep. And obviously an agitator. Yep. So, I mean, this is a major loss. What do you have, like 30-something goals last year as well? So 55 points.
12 power play goals.
12 power play goals.
Yep.
So this is somebody that this is going to hurt if he ends up getting suspended. And you believe 2 to 3 games.
I think it's going to be more. If Wingles is hurt, I think it's going to be more.
Well, if he's hurt, if, I agree with you. If he's
what
hurt,
makes you
I think
that he's hurt.
Wingles?
Yeah.
He didn't come back in the game and it's the playoffs. And we didn't talk to him afterwards. And I mean, judging by that hit and the violence of it and the way he had to be helped off the ice.
Is this a Donato situation then?
Donato's back in, right?
Could be. Yeah. Well, Riley Nash may end up coming back in too, though. So if he comes back in, it may not be
Donato. What's your opinion on Riley Nash? You were so dismissive of my opinion that he was going to come back for game one.
Well, because, I mean, what Cassidy said was basically
enough.
That he's not going to play.
Enough.
So
well, he didn't. And,
yeah.
And so you were right. All right, so what is your opinion on Riley Nash and his importance?
He's very important.
Yeah, he's more important than anyone who's come back so far.
Yeah, he's a poor man's Bergeron, you know, and he has chemistry with Backes and Heinen on that third line. They were so good during the regular season when they were together and providing some of that offensive support that the Bruins are going to need when at times the defenses are going to be able to clamp down on Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak. Obviously, didn't look like that in game one,
yeah.
And they're going to have to do a much better job, and I think that top line's going to get oftentimes what they want against an average to weak Toronto defense, but there are going to be times where they're going to get quiet. You're going to need the other lines to score. And the one thing you get more of with Riley Nash, a career offensive year, is more offensive upside and a better faceoff guy as well on that third line. I mean, he's been a big underrated part of what the Bruins have done this year.
All right, Anderson, bad game.
I got to do this.
Oh, okay.
All right, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. Score a pair of tickets to game 2 of the Bruins playoffs against Toronto tomorrow night at the Garden. Limited tickets still available at Ticketmaster.com.
Anderson, bad game or just bad defense in front of him yesterday?
Bad defense in front of him, and I think he did. His confidence was rattled and shaken a little bit. I mean, that last goal
was bad.
Off his back was horrible.
Are you talking about the Krejci one?
Yeah.
Krejci weird
goal,
angle? Oh,
yeah.
What a,
Krejci
that
goal was
awesome.
Bad.
But that's real bad.
But other than that, I don't think that he wasn't.
I said it was bad defense in front of him, but he's going to see the same defense for the rest of the series. This is an area where the Bruins have a huge advantage over the Toronto Maple Leafs, is they're going to be able to attack the Toronto defense, force them to defend in their zone, and get really good quality chances. I mean, there is nobody on the Maple Leafs that comes anywhere close to touching McAvoy Chara as a top pairing. Their defensemen just aren't that good. Mm-hmm. You know, Ron Hainsey is old. Zaitsev is, he's fine, but he's not that good a player. Polak is fine, but he's also more of a McQuaid, Kevin Miller type than a top pairing. Their best guys are Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner, who are Torrey Krug types. They just want to move the puck, not play defense at all, and not be in the defensive zone. And you get them in there, you're going to be able to do damage against them. The question becomes, when you get to Toronto, when Mike Babcock gets the matchups that he want, how much is the series going to change? Because I think the Bruins are going to have big advantages in the games at the Garden, and Bruce Cassidy is a guy that plays the matchups extremely well and will go to it very often to get the advantages, and he did it in Game 1. I'm sure he's going to do it in Game 2.
Is it always going to be the Bergeron line against Austin Matthews? I know it wasn't last night, but is that the idea?
I think so. I mean, the regular season game that Austin Matthews played against the Bruins, he did nothing. And it was because of Bergeron, and it was because Chara was out there oftentimes with him as well. You saw him get frustrated. You saw him be completely invisible and a non-factor. And it, whatever they've done over the last 2 years against Austin Matthews, it has worked because he's got one goal in, I think, five games now, and he has not been a dominant force. Like I said before, Mitch Marner is the guy that really gives them problems because mm-hmm. he's small, he's fast and shifty. Those kind of guys give Chara problems. Matthews is a little bit of a bigger body, maybe a Malkin sort of type that Chara, I think, has an easier time with.
Things obviously worked out yesterday, but you got a lot of crap online, or not you, but people were saying, why isn't Donato in there? And what was your answer to the people who were clamoring for Donato to play yesterday?
Well, the two things you look at is he's not going to supplant Jake DeBrusque. He's not going to supplant Danton Heinen. Those guys both played well at the end of the season, deserved their spot. So you're looking at him being, you know, a third-line center or a fourth-line player. That's what he would have to go in there as, because he was Rick Nash's replacement. He's not a fourth line kind of player. Butch Cassidy likes his fourth line the way it is, physical, can use them in the D zone.
They called him Butch Cassidy.
I know, he's Butchy.
Everyone calls him Butchy.
The defensive responsibilities that the fourth line has, that's kind of a weak area for Ryan Donato, so you don't want that to be able to get exploited in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's not the kind of role for him. On the third line, David Backes, maybe he shifts to center and you could put him at the wing. They did not want David Backes at center against a fast Toronto team because he's not the fastest skater in the world, and he's certainly slowed down as he's gotten a little bit older. I think that's the right call. So, you know, you weren't going to see him in any of those situations. He wasn't going to be the third line center either, because that's too much responsibility for a guy that's barely played center in the NHL. So I think because of some very valid good reasons about wanting to be a good defensive team and a good two-way team, mm-hmm. you don't put him in. But I mean, if it comes down to they have trouble scoring at all in this series, you put him in there and maybe he gives you that Tyler Seguin boost like you got in 2011 against Tampa. I have no problem with them doing it, but I think it was the right call at the start of the series to see how things are going to play out.
All right, well, Joe Haggerty wearing his one of his favorite shirts there.
I'm feeling a little bit better about the Solo movie, by the way, after I saw the most recent trailer.
I'm feeling better.
Slightly better. It's still going to stink.
Still wondering about that kid playing Solo, though.
He can't act. No, apparently, they had to give him acting lessons.
I do not see a lot of charisma oozing from him a la Harrison Ford.
No, without a doubt. I think it's going to be a disappointment.
No, but Donald Glover's still going to be cool as Lando Calrissian. I'm pretty sure about that.
That's good casting.
Yeah.
Was that what you were angling for off the air? Was passes to
Infinity War.
No, that was Infinity
War. What's Infinity War?
It's Avengers, the new Avengers movie.
Well, what Rich can't lose. I'll wear like a Captain America hockey jersey to that thing.
You have a Captain America hockey jersey?
We'll look awesome showing up to that thing. Yeah, we should film that.
We're not going together. We're not? Especially if you're wearing that.
We're not
going
to sit next to each other and have popcorn? Feed each other popcorn during the game?
I'll put a hole in the bottom. You know, we'll have a good time. We'll make a day out of it.
Now we're rolling.
Hachi machi.
Now we're rolling. All right.
It'll be a diner situation.
Oh, man. Just needed a little air.
This is me not complaining. I am not being aggressively quiet right now, Rich. Right.
Joe Haggerty, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thanks, Freddie. See you, Rich. See you in a while.
I hope I wasn't too aggressively quiet with you.
You are the right level of quiet, Freddie.
Thank you. I hope I wasn't killing you with silence. You want to do the recaps or you want to do the bet?
Recaps.
All right. We're doing recaps from outside the game last night. We'll have those for you.
Imagine